Fellow believers, we're gathered here to discuss a serious matter. Our very lives, the lives of our women and children, are at stake. But this is nothing as compared to the danger to the gospel of Jesus. A wrong decision and the gospel will be greatly hindered. A right decision and the gospel may well be advanced far beyond our greatest expectations. I suggest, therefore, that we seek wisdom and counsel from the source of all wisdom and knowledge. Brother Ananias, will you please lead out?
God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come to thee in this hour of need. We seek thy counsel and guidance. Give us a generous measure of thy spirit, that the decision we make here today may reflect thy will and thy purpose for us. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Who could it be?
Did anyone know of this meeting?
No one outside of our own group.
We better see who it is.
Who is it?
Open up. It's me, Barabbas.
Oh, come in quickly. What is it?
It's Saul. Saul of Tarsus. He's arrived.
Saul of Tarsus here in the city?
My sister saw him. She was tilling the grapes. She saw him and his band of soldiers arrive, and immediately she rushed to tell me. And I came here as quickly as I could.
Saul of Tarsus is here for just one purpose, to put us to death, just like he caused Stephen's death. But are we going to run away from the danger as the brethren in Jerusalem ran? Or are we going to stand our ground and face Saul? The decision, brethren, is up to you. To flee or to face death, which will it be?
Say, Uncle Dan, from what we've just heard, I'd say that your story is going to be another exciting chapter about Saul of Tarsus and the early Christians.
Right you are, Aunt Sue, and it's one I think our listeners will really enjoy. It's found in the Bible in Acts chapter 9, and I call it
Dangers at Damascus.
Brethren, fellow believers, are we going to run away from the danger as the brethren in Jerusalem ran? Or are we going to stand our ground and face Saul? The decision, brethren, is up to you. To flee or to face death, which will it be?
I'm not a member of this august body. I'm very young, yet may I speak my mind?
Of course, Barabbas. Go ahead.
Well, it seems to me that one cannot run away from dangers and troubles. By so doing, one merely delays facing them. The believers in Jerusalem fled, but did they escape? No. Saul has followed them. It seems to me, if I may say so, that it is much better to stand firm on any issue if one is right and let come what will.
Oh, thank you, Barabbas. Your words have the ring of truth. Yet, on the other hand, it is possible that God is scattering the believers abroad so that the gospel of Jesus will spread. We here in Damascus might never have heard of the gospel of truth if the believers in Jerusalem hadn't been forced to come here to escape Saul of Tarsus.
Oh, you're both right. Your reasoning is sound, both of you. Yet isn't it true that the decision to flee or not to flee has been taken out of our hands? We have just received the news that Saul, accompanied by soldiers, has arrived. By this time, undoubtedly, he has soldiers posted at every gate of the city. Even if we wanted to escape, could we?
You suggest then, Brother Ananias, that we stay and face Saul? That we take our chances of death? We must remember, you know, that Saul has authority to kill women as well as men.
I think, Judas, that Saul has authority only to arrest us, including women, and take everyone to Jerusalem for trial.
A trial? Mockery, mere mockery. The death sentence would be automatic.
Oh, true, Brother Judas, true. Yet, until death actually comes, there is always the possibility that one may speak out for Jesus. And after all, that is our only aim and purpose.
I bow to your superior experience and intelligence, Brother Ananias. We will remain here in Damascus.
I suggest that we go back to our homes and work as if Saul were miles away. And remember, even though it may seem that Satan rules in the affairs of nations and men, we can be sure that God will take care of his own.
On that note of hope and assurance, we're dismissed.
The meeting, Judas. What was the decision?
We remain here in Damascus.
But what about Saul? He'll kill all of us.
We're believers in Christ. Our beliefs in Jesus are worthless, mockeries, unless supported by strong faith. True faith exercises itself in troublesome as well as peaceful times. It survives all the setbacks and sorrows the enemy of man can place in our pathway.
Oh, yes, Judas, I can see that it's easy to have faith during good times.
And equally hard to retain faith during adverse times. But that kind of faith is the only kind of faith worth anything.
But Saul will arrest us and take us to Jerusalem for trial and execution?
He's a very determined man. Oh, would that he were on our side. What a blessing and help such a man would be to the cause of Christ.
Saul on our side? Saul of Tarsus? Oh, I don't think Jesus wants such men on his side. He surely doesn't need such a satanic man.
He's the classic example of how low a man can sink in sin and iniquity. Born, raised, and educated as a Hebrew. Yet look at him, fighting the very foundation of our beliefs. I'll get it, dear. Yes?
Judas?
Well, Judas is my name.
I am blind, sir, and...
Well, I can see that. You wish help?
Yes, a kind of help, if you will, please.
It's rather unusual, isn't it, for a blind beggar to be escorted by a soldier?
Oh, he's just the captain of... Captain, you may be excused. Go back to your command.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Judas, I beg of you, hear what I have to say.
You're not blind. You're a fraud.
I am blind, Judas, yet I suppose I am a fraud. Yes. Yes, I am. I'm worse than a fraud.
Look, what are you trying to tell me?
I am Saul. Saul of Tarsus. Are you still there?
Well, I'm still here. What do you want?
I need help. Jesus of Nazareth met me along the way and told
Look,
me...
why don't you come right out with it? You're here in my home to arrest me and take me back to Jerusalem. Well, you came to the right place. I do believe in Jesus. And as long as I have breath left in my body, I'll continue to praise his name. Arrest me. Well, come on, what are you waiting for? Are you afraid?
I am not come to arrest you.
You are Saul of Tarsus.
I am Saul of Tarsus, and I am...
Well, I know why you're here. It's general knowledge. You came with authority to arrest all believers in Jesus of Nazareth.
I myself am a believer in Jesus of Nazareth.
Oh, you took part in the murder of Stephen and many other believers in Jerusalem.
See these eyes? Look at them. They are unseeing. I am blind, and you know why I'm blind?
No.
I saw Jesus. What? Yes, Jesus of Nazareth.
But Jesus has ascended into heaven.
He appeared unto me. The brightness of his being blinded me. The glory of his person was too much for my mortal eyes. He spoke to me.
Jesus? The Son of God spoke to you?
I don't blame you for doubting, Judas. Yet it's true. Incredible. But true.
But you're a persecutor of the believers. You're an agent of Satan himself.
What you say is true. I have no defense whatsoever for what I have done. I can only say that in the grace and strength of Jesus, I have given up my old associations, old thoughts, old ways. I am now a new being in Jesus of Nazareth.
I wish I could believe that.
It is true, Judas.
You're not here to arrest me and the other believers?
I am here, Judas, because Jesus of Nazareth spoke to me. He instructed me to come here to you.
What?
He mentioned you by name as living on the street called Straight. He said that you would tell me what to do.
Jesus. Jesus from heaven mentioned me by name?
He did, Judas.
Jesus knows, recognizes me. Are you just saying these things to confuse me, to win me over?
No, Judas. Is it so surprising that Jesus, the Jesus who was here on earth, who now serves as our advocate in heaven, the Jesus you believe in, knows all about you and follows your every thought and action? Is that so surprising?
Well, what do you wish me to do?
I asked Jesus what to do. He said to come to you. You would instruct me.
Well, I still don't know what to think of all this. Well, come with me. At least I can be hospitable until I do decide. Oh, I forgot. You're blind. Here's my hand. In here, this will be your room.
You're very kind, Judith.
I'll have my wife bring you something to eat.
You're locking the door?
Of course. I'm not taking any chances.
He seems sincere enough. Maybe he is converted.
Or he could be playing a part, the more readily to fool us.
You're going to notify the brethren?
Perhaps. But I'm not sure. In the meantime, it won't hurt to feed him.
Here's some food on this tray. But he wouldn't eat it.
Maybe he doesn't like our food. Has Saul eaten anything yet?
Not a morsel.
Well, does he seem depressed?
I can't tell. He doesn't say anything.
He doesn't ask questions or say anything at all?
Nothing.
In his solitary room, Saul of Tarsus, blind, cut off from the world, without friends, was in mental agony. Time and time again, he recalled his part in the death of Stephen.
Stephen's face was alight with the glory of heaven. Yet I was too stubborn, too bigoted to realize the truth. Oh, what a terrible thing I have done.
In this solitude, Saul recalled with horror his guilt in allowing himself to be controlled by malice and prejudice.
I just closed my eyes and ears to the truth. I allowed my perceptions to be clouded by prejudice and ambition. How could anyone be as wrong as I was?
During the long hours Saul was shut in his room, he recalled many passages of Scripture pointing directly to Jesus as the Messiah.
How could I have missed their true meaning? They all pointed to Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah. I lacked understanding. I was a proud Pharisee, confident that good works would gain me a home in the eternal kingdom. How wrong I was. It is only through the grace of Jesus that anyone can come into the heavenly kingdom.
Has Saul eaten anything yet?
Not a crumb, the poor man. He'll starve to death. When are you going to let Saul out of his room?
Whenever it's indicated I should.
He's been in there 3 days already.
Well, perhaps it'll do him good. Give him time to mull over his past sins and evil ways.
It is with contriteness and humility, O God, that I appeal to you for help and forgiveness. I am evil. I am stubborn. I am the chief of sinners. Forgive me, O God, and cleanse me from all unholiness. Purge me. Make me a pure vessel to do thy will.
In another part of Damascus resides the venerable Ananias, one of the very men Paul had intended to arrest and carry back to Jerusalem.
Ananias!
Yes. Saw someone call me?
Ananias!
Oh, yes. Yes, Lord.
Arise, Ananias, and go to the street called Straight to the house of Judas, and inquire for a man named Saul of Tarsus.
Saul of Tarsus? The one from Jerusalem who persecutes the followers of Jesus?
Go to him, Ananias, for he is blind. Behold, he is praying. And he has seen a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, so that he might regain his sight.
Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind all who call upon thy name.
Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the sons of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, it's you, Ananias. Come in.
Thank you, Judas.
What brings you here this time of night, Brother Ananias?
Do you have... is Saul here? Saul of Tarsus?
Why, yes.
He is?
Yes, but how did you know? I haven't told anyone.
What's he doing here?
Well, he came here about 3 days ago. Claims to have seen Jesus along the way. He was blind. Said the brightness of Jesus blinded him. He wanted help, but I didn't quite believe him. I've been waiting for some definite indication of just what I should do.
Where is he now?
In his room. I've kept the door locked. But you haven't answered my question. How did you know Saul was here?
Through a vision the Lord spoke to me.
Ah.
I'm to restore Saul's sight. Please take me to him.
Surely. His room is straight ahead. Perhaps his story is true, then. He is converted.
It must be, and what a wonderful thing.
This is his room. Saul? Saul of Tarsus, someone to see you.
Come in.
Saul, this is Ananias, one of the believers here in Damascus.
Greetings, Brother Ananias.
Saul, Brother Saul. The Lord, even Jesus, who appeared to you on the way to Damascus, has sent me. He has sent me to lay my hands on you, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.
As Ananias spoke these words, something like scales fell from the eyes of Saul.
I can see. I can see.
Oh, then you do believe on Jesus.
With all my heart.
Welcome to our ranks, Brother Saul.
As one of you, Ananias, I wish to obey all the rules and ordinances of your faith.
I rejoice to hear you say this, Brother Saul. But first, you must be baptized, if you have already confessed your sins.
I've spent 3 days. They seem like years confessing and pleading to be forgiven.
Then you are ready for baptism. Saul of Tarsus, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
And straightway Saul, now known as Paul, boldly preached Jesus in the synagogues.
I declare unto you, my brethren, Jesus of Nazareth is the long-looked-for Messiah. In the beginning, soon after he had sinned, Adam was given the promise of a Savior. That promise has been given and re-given to the patriarchs down through the ages. Every one of these prophecies points directly to Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Savior. He is the Messiah. It is only through Jesus that we can be cleansed from sin and obtain a home in the eternal kingdom of God. The name of Jesus is the only name whereby sin can be forgiven. And so I say unto you that Jesus of Nazareth died for our sins. He was crucified, buried, and rose again the third day. He was seen by the 12 disciples and others. He then ascended into the heavens unto his Father. And last of all, Jesus was seen by me. Yes, I saw Jesus. A few days ago, I saw Jesus. He is alive. He was resurrected. He is now in heaven as your advocate and mine. Jesus loves you, every one of you, just the same.
Paul's arguments from prophecy were so conclusive, and his efforts so manifestly attended by the power of God, that the rulers and priests were confounded and unable to answer him. Paul's conversion came to them as a great surprise.
I just can't believe it.
It does seem fantastic. Saul joining the followers of Jesus. It is hard to believe.
Are you sure the reports are true?
There is no doubt of it. Saul is preaching a risen Jesus. His reasoning is so logical and his preaching so powerful that people are literally flocking to hear him, and they're accepting his doctrine.
I thought surely we were rid of all this heresy.
It seems like the more we try to stop it, the more the heresy grows and multiplies.
Satan's doings, that's what it is. Perhaps the... yes, scribe, what do you want?
A priest from Damascus wishes an audience, Your Grace.
A priest from Damascus?
Yes, Your Grace.
Well, show him in. Show him in.
I'll leave.
No. You stay. It may be interesting what this priest from Damascus has to say.
Yes, Your Grace.
The High Priest of Damascus to see His Grace.
Come in.
May God's blessings be with thee, Your Grace, and His countenance shine upon you.
You're from Damascus?
Yes, Your Grace.
A long journey. And you come to Jerusalem especially to see me?
With most humble apologies, yes, Your Grace.
Business or pleasure?
Both, Your Grace. I have long yearned to see and meet you. And a pressing matter in Damascus demanded that I confer with you.
Now, could it be that the pressing matter is Saul of Tarsus?
It is, Your Grace.
Have you heard Saul preach? Have you heard him personally?
Yes, Your Grace. And if I must say so, he preaches with power and authority, convincing many that Jesus is the Messiah.
Well, if he didn't preach with power and conviction, there would be no problem, would there?
His Grace is very discerning.
Yes, but we digress. You seek counsel.
Yes. What to do about Saul and his heretical preaching?
There is something you can do. I mean, do you think you can stop him from preaching?
Yes, Your Grace. Dead men do not preach.
And you came to Jerusalem to secure my help in disposing of Saul of Tarsus? Oh,
I realize, Your Grace, that your authority does not extend to Damascus, yet your endorsement in support of our cause would be helpful and influential.
You want letters of approval from me?
Yes, Your Grace.
Scribe, write out the necessary papers. While you are waiting, perhaps you would like to...
Meanwhile, Paul continues to preach in Damascus.
My fellow countrymen, I know that you are convinced in your hearts that the scriptures do point to Jesus of Nazareth as the promised Messiah. Yet many of you have hardened your hearts, refusing to respond to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Instead, your belief is turning to hatred, even as the hatred you showed for Jesus. It is my most heartfelt wish that all of you would repent and confess your sins.
Brother Paul, I hesitate to say this, but it is our opinion, the opinion of the church, that you should leave Damascus for a while until this opposition is quieted.
Leave my field of labor? Oh, no, Ananias. I must preach Jesus to these poor, misguided souls.
But it is dangerous to remain here. The priests and rulers are getting up in arms against
them. Then I must be accomplishing something. Otherwise, they wouldn't fear me.
You won't leave.
I'm not afraid of the priests and rulers. Neither do I fear death.
Well, of course not. None of us do. In fact, any one of us would welcome death on the cross or by any other means if it would strengthen the cause of Jesus. But, Paul... Your death, that would weaken the cause. So won't you leave?
Well, you may be right, Ananias. I'll think it over and pray about it.
The opposition grew so fierce that Paul was not allowed to continue his labors at Damascus. So for a time he went into Arabia, where he found a safe retreat. Here, in the solitude of the desert, Paul had opportunity for quiet study and meditation, which helped to prepare him for the days of conflict that lay ahead. Here, Jesus communed with Paul and established him in the faith, bestowing upon him a rich measure of wisdom and grace.